Well, the last couple of years have created a lot of distance between people. For a while, our kids stayed home from school, and they still did school online, but they were physically distant from their classmates. And many people worked from home for a season. Many of you are still working from home in this long season, haven't gone back yet. We used to have people over at our house every couple of weeks on Friday nights for dinners, and we had to completely cut that out for a while. And honestly, it's been just hard getting back to it because you break these habits and it's difficult getting back to normal life. For a long time, people were told that they couldn't even visit their older relatives and even just relatives, period. And some states are even doing that right now as we sit here, telling people not to have people over for Christmas. This relational distance has been devastating in many people's lives, creating loneliness and depression, and bad actions have stemmed out of those things, terrible actions. We need relationships with people. And we need close relationships with people to be healthy. And if we didn't recognize that before, we definitely should recognize it now. Something else about relationship that many people don't recognize that we need to recognize is we need relationship with God. We need close relationship with God to be healthy. And I actually believe that all the relationships that He's created on earth, like marriage and brothers and sisters and a family, all those relationships that are established by Him are supposed to point us to the fact that we need those relationships, we're drawn into those relationships, is supposed to point us to the fact that we need relationship with God. And that is the very reason that the Son of God came to earth as the human Jesus, which we celebrate at Christmas. He came to draw close to people, and He came to draw people into a close relationship with God. I want to show you that in our brief time tonight. All the scriptures are going to be up on the screen, or maybe a little bit off the screen tonight. Let's look at a few things that Jesus did while He was on earth. This is recorded in Matthew chapter 8. When Jesus came down from the mountain, large crowds followed Him, and a leper came to Him and bowed down before Him and said, "Lord, if You are willing, You can make me clean." Jesus stretched out His hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." And immediately the leper was cleansed. Leprosy was a devastating disease. It damages your nerves, and so the result of that is you injure yourself, you bump into things, and you cut yourself on things, and then you get infections, and lepers would lose fingers and toes and legs and things because they would get these infections. And so it was absolutely terrible. And back then, people thought that it was highly contagious, and so they were freaked out to be anywhere near a leper because they didn't want that to happen to them, of course. Sounds a little bit like what we're going through, right? Except everybody's a leper. They would even call out loud, like if a leper was coming, the way I understand it, it was part of like their tradition law, but it was part of their law that they would yell, I don't know what the words were, but like, "Leper coming!" out loud so that everybody could like part out of the way. I mean, could you imagine being that guy? You're the leper. That would be completely embarrassing. But when this leper came up to Jesus asking if Jesus was willing to heal him, Jesus didn't only heal him, which He did, but He touched him. Now, of course, Jesus wasn't afraid to get the disease because He's God, and He knew that it didn't spread easily and He wasn't going to get it. But still, Jesus didn't need to touch him. We know that because Jesus healed many other people, and there were times when Jesus was standing miles away from people and just said, "It's done." And so the person who asked him to do it went home and the person's healed. So Jesus didn't need to touch him, but He did. Why? Well, we're guessing, but I'd imagine that guy hadn't been touched in a long time by anybody. Hugged. Poor Anne here tonight. She can't hug anybody tonight, and she's just devastated by that. And it's one night. Imagine your whole life. You can't get a hug. And Jesus touched this guy. Jesus drew close to this man and healed him. So one chapter later, Matthew chapter 9, then it happened that Jesus was reclining at a table in a house. Behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were dining with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why is your teacher eating with tax collectors and sinners?" But when Jesus heard this, he said, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what it means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." The Pharisees were a sect within Judaism who held really strictly to not only the Old Testament law, but a bunch of other traditions that they had added to the law. And therefore, they thought of themselves as really, really righteous. Meaning they thought that everything that they did was right in the sight of God. And so they themselves were right with God. And they thought, along with that, most other people were not. They would refer to all those other people as sinners. And we know from the Bible that all humans are sinners because none does everything that God wants. None can be truly righteous on their own. But the Pharisees thought of themselves as righteous. The Pharisees were so self-righteous that they would not even associate with sinners, who they thought to be sinners. And having a meal with somebody back in that day was a very intimate thing to do. It was a clear sign of acceptance. We're friends, we're family, we are close. And so there is no way that a Pharisee would have a meal with somebody they perceived as a sinner, and which is why they're saying that to Jesus. Like basically, hey, if you're a righteous man, there is no way that you would eat dinner with these people. But there we find Jesus dining with sinners, close to them. And Jesus expressed that sinners are the very people that he came for, to call to the Lord. Now, as I said before, the Bible teaches that every person is a sinner, but a person has to recognize themselves as a sinner to be willing to come to Jesus, to come to him for spiritual healing. Forgiveness of their sins is what that is. The Pharisees would not recognize that about themselves because they were so self-righteous. And so Jesus said, basically, you don't think you need it? That's fine. I'm calling the people to me that are sinners. And so it poses the question to us, can we humble ourselves enough to recognize I'm a sinner? I need this healing that Jesus can give me. Both of these events, Jesus touching the leper to heal him and Jesus eating with the sinners who he said were sick, point to what Jesus came for. Which is healing people from their sins so we could be brought close to God. Romans 5 reads, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man, someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." We are helpless to get to God on our own, because we are all sinners on our own. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So what does His death and His blood do for us? The passage says it justifies us. That word justifies is a different version. It's a verb form of a word that we've already run across in our study tonight. Justified means to make righteous. The thing that we can't be on our own. Jesus, His blood, His death, makes us what we can't be on our own. Righteous. Right before God. The only way a person can truly be righteous, right in God's sight, is to be made that way by Jesus paying the price, His blood, for our sins. And that makes it so that we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Jesus. And we go from being enemies of God to being reconciled to God through Jesus. And that means we get right relationship with God. You might notice that word reconciled implies in our language, and it does in the Greek that the New Testament was written in also, that there was a prior relationship. But if you never had a relationship with God, how is that? We think it's because He created us for relationship with Him. Even though we never had it yet, it's like we're going back to what was intended. We are reconciled. We are made back into the right relationship that we were always intended to have with God, that sin broke. This is the Son of God's main purpose for coming to earth as a human, so He could die to pay the penalty for our sins and give us a right relationship with God forever. Not only right relationship with God, but close relationship with God. Ephesians chapter 2 reads, "You were formerly separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought close by the blood of Christ." Prior to Christ, this is true of everyone. You were or are without God. Christ not only brings us to the one true God, but He also, by His blood, has brought you close to God. There are lots of people in this world who believe in a God, but that He's distant, kind of unknowable. But that's not what happens with us through Christ. We are brought close to God. A few verses prior to that, it tells us how this happens, that it happens through faith, through trust in Christ. It also tells us that, and I'm summarizing, but you can't be good enough to earn it, to earn relationship with God, to earn being close to God. We cannot make ourselves righteous. If we had time, I'd walk you through another passage in Hebrews 10, which pictures God on His throne and us being allowed, because of the blood of Jesus, to, in a sense, walk right up to God on His throne, drawing close to Him. Like a child who could walk right up to his dad anytime and give him a hug or have a conversation with him, we can draw close to God because of Jesus. So if you've not yet trusted Jesus Christ and His blood poured out in a sacrifice as the only way that you can be made righteous, that is, be made right with God, will you trust Jesus tonight? And if you trust Jesus, draw close to God. Jesus didn't just die to save us, but He died to give us close relationship with God. We need it to be healthy. So accept that. and pursue it. Pursue close relationship with God. And no matter where you're at with Christ, Christ has established His church. Not as just a place to attend and check it off a list, but for us to help one another to know God and to draw close to God. So come be with us in the weeks to come. And if you don't live close to here, if you're visiting with somebody and you live far away, find a church that's near you, that's like a family and that teaches the Bible, that will help you to know God and to draw close to Him. Will you bow your head and pray? If you already trust Jesus, then thank Him during these few moments of silence that I'm going to give. If you've not yet trusted Jesus Christ as the only way that you can be right with God, will you trust Jesus right now? He is God, so He can hear your prayers right from inside your head. Tell Jesus that you trust Him. You trust His sacrifice on a cross to pay for the forgiveness of your sins. Tell Jesus that you trust that only He can make you right in the sight of God. Lord Jesus, thank You for coming to earth to reach out to us, to heal us spiritually by forgiving our sins. Thank You for the sacrifice, first of all, of You being God and coming to be a human was a sacrifice, but so that You could make the sacrifice of dying to pay the penalty for our sins. Thank You that all we have to do is trust You. And because of what You have done, it'll give us right relationship with the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I pray for each of us that we would draw close to You, that the number one priority for each of us in this coming year would be a relationship with You, and that all the other relationships that we have would be healthier because of our relationship with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.